eyes getting weaker, and I've been fighting it, and I just decided to go for it. So we're going to wear them. Isaiah 36, and I have to say, it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. Isaiah 36, look what the Bible says here. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. Then came forth unto him Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, Say ye now to Hezekiah, Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? I say, sayest thou, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed, on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. If thou say to me, We trust in the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah God, our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and said to Judah and to Jerusalem, Ye shall worship before this altar? Now therefore give pledges, I pray thee, to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? And am I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, Go up against this land and destroy it. Let's pray together if we could. Lord, thank you so much for your wonderful blessings that you've given to us. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to be able to study your word here this morning. And I pray that you would do a work of grace in our lives as we answer the question, Lord, can you be trusted? Can we trust in you? Can we trust in you, Lord, in the circumstances of our life? Can we trust in you for our soul's salvation? Lord, I pray that as we read your word, as you state in your word, that our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word, that our faith would grow here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would do a work of love and grace in our lives, that we would make good decisions that honor you. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The entire message of Isaiah for Judah, if you are a student of the Bible and you go through the book of Isaiah, you come to the conclusion that the entire book of Judah, the entire book of Isaiah for the nation of Judah is that they would trust in God, that they would look to the Lord. The Assyrian leader, Sennacherib, comes to Judah with a question that I believe is echoed in every generation of the Christian church, every generation of the Christian, every Christian character in the Bible had to come to the place in his life where he answered this question. And the question is simple. Can I trust God? Can I trust God? Can I trust God in the circumstances of my life? Can I trust God with my family? Can I trust God with my career? Can I trust God with my finances? Can I trust God with my soul's salvation? Can I trust in God? And this story illustrates this wonderfully. Now, this story is found three times in the Bible. This is an important story that's given. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 18. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And it's also found in Isaiah chapter 36 and 37. So three times in the Bible this story is mentioned. And really this passage of scripture is an epic showdown between God and sinful men. It's a showdown between God and sinful men. The story is really told with a question in mind. And again, it's a question we have to answer in our hearts. Can I trust the Lord? Now, as we read this narrative, we find in this passage of scripture that there's a discussion that is given, and we're going to go through it. But let's break it down into three points here this morning and kind of give us the context of what's happening. First of all, I notice here a conceited king, a conceited king. Now, the king of Assyria comes up to the cities of Judah, and the Bible says that he has captured them all. He's captured them all, but one city remains, and that is the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem. We read about this through chapter 36. He has taken the city of Lachish, and again, the only city that remains is the city of Jerusalem. And so the king sends his commander, and his commander is named Rabshakeh, and he sends him to Hezekiah, the king of Judah. And the Bible says that he sends him with a great army. Look what the Bible says in chapter 36, verse 2. It says, the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army, and he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. Now, this is important because when we read this passage of scripture, it is the exact same place 35 years ago, or 35 years earlier, that his father Ahab, King Ahaz, excuse me, was told not to fear but to trust in the Lord. So he comes to this exact place that his father 35 years earlier was told to trust in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 7, let's read it together. The Bible says, and it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the people, the heart of the people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jezhab, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the sons of Remaliah. And so we get a sense here of this passage of scripture that God continually is telling these leaders of Judah, you don't have to fear these surrounding nations. You can trust in God. You don't have to be afraid. And really, it's the sense of the entire book of Isaiah. Again, we're hearing this message. Isaiah chapter 41, can we turn there and verse number 10? Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 10. Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And so his father, King Ahaz, here's the problem. He didn't trust in God. He didn't trust in the Lord. His father didn't look to the Lord for deliverance. He looked for his own way. And now 35 years later, King Hezekiah is at this place with an opportunity to prove that God is faithful and to prove that God is true. And we have times in our life, in the trials and difficulties of our life, where we can trust in God and we can prove that the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. We have opportunities in our life to prove that God is faithful and that we can trust in him. Can we turn to Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10? Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10. And look what the Bible says here. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. It says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house." Now notice what God says, "And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." God is saying, listen, trust in me and let me prove to you that I am faithful and that I am true. And so his commander stands before Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over his house, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, and Asaph's son, the recorder, and asks the central question. He stands before them and he asks this important question: who are you trusting in today? Hezekiah, who are you trusting in today? Are you trusting in your own military? Well, that's laughable. Your own military is not going to fix this problem. If you are trusting in your own military, he says, we will conquer you. We will destroy you. He says, even if you had 2,000 horses, you don't have 2,000 men to put on those horses. Your military is not the answer. In verse number 8, he says, your military is weak. Your military is small. And if you're trusting in your military, you will fail. He says, are you trusting in Egypt? This is a surrounding nation which Judah often ran to for help. He says, if you're trusting in Egypt, not only will we destroy you, but we'll also destroy Egypt as well. And so if you're trusting in Egypt, it is not the answer. Even the world can be right, you know, if they recite the Bible. And exactly what is being said here is true. I mean, the reality is that if Hezekiah was trusting in these things, he would fail. If he was trusting in Egypt, a pagan nation, he would fail. If he was trusting in his own military might, he would fail. You know, outside of God, all of these things were pointless and all of these things are vain. And then we notice here that they begin to mock their God. He says, listen, didn't you tear down, if you're going to trust in the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D, if you're going to trust in the Lord, he said, didn't you tear down all of the altars to the Lord? You know, even your trust in God is pointless, he says in verse number 7. He says, God isn't on your side. God isn't going to help you. God isn't going to deliver you. And this is how the world sees the Christian. And we have to realize this morning that the world looks at the Christian's lack of faith. They look at the Christian and they say, well, listen, if you believed in God, if you believe in the Lord, then why don't you go to church? Why don't you pray? Why don't you give to God? Or when God chastens you and God disciplines you, they say, well, God hates you, or God is allowing these things in your life to harm you or to hurt you. And this, of course, is what the devil wants us to believe. The devil doesn't want us to believe that God is on our side. The devil doesn't want us to believe that God is directing us and guiding us and will help us. No, the devil wants us not to trust in the Lord. And the Bible says it this way. Can we turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 in our Bibles? 1 Peter chapter 5. And notice what the scriptures say here. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves, and that he may exalt you in due time. Now, notice what the Bible says here, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It says, casting all of your care upon him, on God. Why? Because he cares for you. You can cast all of your care on the Lord this morning. You can give, the word there, care, is the idea of anxieties and worries. You can cast them all on the Lord because he cares about you. But notice what the Bible says in verse 8. It says, but be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And oftentimes when these circumstances come into our life, the devil is there to whisper in our ear, well, if God cared about you, then why would he allow these events to come into your life? And I'm sure you've heard those voices. If God cared about you, then why would those events take place? And so in verses, chapter 37, verses 10 and 13, the commander of the Assyrians begins to list all the nations that they have defeated, all the nations that they have conquered. And we see in verse number 10, the Bible says, thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trusted deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the land of the king of Assyria. Listen, we have destroyed all of these nations. And don't you think that just by trusting in God, you're going to be saved. Don't you be deceived in thinking that your false god or what they would perceive as a false god would help you. But the problem is that he wasn't a false god. Judah trusted in the true God, the living God that would deliver them. A God who cannot lie and a God who always keeps his promises. Can I remind you that the voices of the devil is to get you to doubt the word of God? This is what the devil wants you to do today. He wants you to doubt what God has said. Can we go all the way back to the beginning, to Genesis chapter 3? Genesis chapter 3. And notice what the Bible says here. Genesis chapter 3. And notice verse number 1. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. And notice what the scriptures say here. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now that is an expression of doubt right there, trying to get Eve to doubt God. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. We notice the work of the devil is to get us to doubt the word of God, to get us to doubt what God has said. And the devil came to Eve with this very purpose, trying to get Eve to doubt God. Did God really say that? You know, this is what God really meant. You know, Eve, if you follow me, I'll let you, you know, I'll promote you. I'll let you be as a god. And so we notice in this passage of scripture, these questions of doubt. Is God really good? Does God really care about you? These are questions that the devil brings up in our life. Can he really be trusted? Does God really want the best for your life? These are questions of doubt. And we notice what Rabshakeh has to say in this passage here. Look what the Bible says back in our text, chapter 36, Isaiah chapter 36. And notice what the Bible says here in verse number 14. Isaiah chapter 36. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 14. The Bible says, thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver you. You know, it would be the same if someone was over here saying, don't let Pastor Burns deceive you during this sermon. Don't let Pastor Burns convince you that you can trust in God. That's the message of the devil. Don't let Pastor Burns convince you that you can follow the Lord and God is guiding your life and you can trust in him with your life and your soul and salvation, all those things. Don't be deceived. This was the message of Rabshakeh. here toward the people. He said, "The Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present and come out to me and eat ye every one of his vine and every one of his fig tree and drink ye every one of the waters of his own cistern." He says, listen, don't you listen to the preacher and don't you listen to the word of God. He says, I want you to know that you can't trust in the Lord, but you can trust in me, and you come and bring a gift to me, and I'll let you have whatever you want. You can trust in me, but you can't trust in God. And that's the message of the devil today. That's the message of the devil today. You know, the devil would whisper in someone's life, if you trust Jesus as your Savior, your life will never be the same. And it's true, it'll never be the same, but it will be better, trust me. And so the devil, he's a liar today. He's the father of lies. You know, the old preachers of the past would say that all of the devil's apples have worms and all of the devil's checks bounce. I don't even know if we use checks anymore, but the reality is he's a liar. The devil is a liar, and the devil cannot be trusted. So not only do we notice a conceited king, but secondly, I want us to notice a confident king. Look what the Bible says in chapter 37 now, chapter 37, and we read the response of Hezekiah, the response of Hezekiah, and we see what trusting the Lord looks like. Look what the Bible says in chapter 37 in verse number 1. Now, Hezekiah was a good king. He wasn't a perfect king, but he was a good king. And he made mistakes for sure. But look what the Bible says in verse 1. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household of Shebna, the scribe and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to find forth. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God. And he will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say unto your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. I want us to notice the response here of this godly king. A couple of thoughts. First of all, it's important. Number one, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. You know, when we come to the end of ourselves, when we stop thinking that we're all that is needed, when we stop thinking that we are, you know, the greatest thing, we find strength in the Lord. And Hezekiah realized, I can't solve this problem. I need the Lord. I need the Lord. And so he humbled himself. We must confess our unbelief and our unfaithfulness, and we must look to the Lord. Let me give you some scriptures. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 11. Matthew chapter 23, and notice what the Bible says in verse 12. Matthew 23 and verse number 12. Matthew 23, verse 12. It says, and whoso ever shall exalt in himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. It doesn't get much easier than that. If we promote ourselves, then we're going to be made low. If we humble ourselves, it is God that promotes us. James chapter 4 and verse number 10. James chapter 4 in our Bibles. And notice what the Bible says here in verse 10, the 10th verse of the 4th chapter of the book of James. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So not only did Hezekiah humble himself, and anytime we come to the Lord, there has to be a humbling. We have to bow the knee to the Lord. Not only did he humble himself, but also he turned to the word of God. Now, this king was aware of the situation. He was aware of the trouble that he was in, that his nation was in. And we notice that King Hezekiah, when he heard the words of the king of Assyria, when Sennacherib had said to him that he would be destroyed, that there was no hope for them, that the only hope was to come to him and allow him to have mercy on them, I noticed that in this passage of scripture that Hezekiah didn't run to the wise men of the day. He ran to the Lord, and he wanted to know what God had to say. He ran to the man of God. He ran to Isaiah the prophet, and he said, listen, this is our situation. But what does God have to say about this? What does God say about our situation? And so we notice that he runs to the word of God. He humbles himself. He runs to the word of God. How does Hezekiah respond? He turned to prayer. He turned to prayer. Look what the Bible says. Isaiah 37 verse 14. It says, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying. Now notice his prayer being so specific of the situation of his life. And don't be afraid to become specific in your prayer life. Look what he says. He says, verse 16, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which thou hast sent to approach the living God. He takes that letter, he lays it before the Lord, and he says, Lord, this is what he has to say about us. This is the trouble that we're in. Lord, what do you have to say? Lord, how can we be saved? Lord, what is the answer to this problem? Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. I want us to go to the New Testament now, Philippians chapter 4. Can we turn there? Philippians chapter 4. And I believe that when we are in crisis, when we are in trouble, when we are in time of need in our life, that is the only response that a Christian should have is to first seek the face of the Lord. And Paul mentions this in Philippians 4 and verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Hey, listen, friend. When you are feeling burdened, when you're feeling like you're at wit's end in your life, when there are no solutions, I suggest that you talk to Jesus about it. I'm not saying, you know, that you can't talk to other counselors and other helps, but I think, first of all, instead of running to Facebook, maybe we should run to the Lord, and we should talk to him, and we should tell him our cares. You know, the songwriter said, are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? He says, tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. And so this is what Hezekiah did. He humbled himself. He went to the prophet and said, what does the Lord have to say? And then he prayed. And he sought the face of God. And Hezekiah didn't focus on himself. He focused on the Lord. And we notice the response here. As we look thirdly, I want us to think about a conquering king. We see a conceited king. We see a king with faith and a king that trusts the Lord and a confident king. But thirdly, we notice a conquering king. In Isaiah chapter 37 in verses 21, because of King Hezekiah's prayer life, God begins to move into action. And, you know, when we pray, God moves. And you obviously we don't see it, but God is, we believe by faith that God is answering that prayer. Now, sometimes God says no because he knows what is best for our life. Sometimes God says slow, means just not now. And sometimes God says go, and God does work in front of us. But notice what the Bible says now in chapter 37, verse 21. And notice the work of God. Then Isaiah the son of Amos said unto Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, wherefore thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. So God, the King of Kings, the conquering king, speaks. And he looks at the situation. And look what the Bible says in verse 33 of chapter 37. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there. Now remember, he's already conquered all of the other cities in Judah. Only Jerusalem is left, and all the surrounding nations have been conquered. This is indeed, we talk about a conquering king. We're probably thinking about the king of Assyria. But that's not the conquering king. The conquering king is God. And we notice in this passage of scripture, God says, listen, he's not going to come into this city, and he's not even going to shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. Look at this, verse 35, for I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Sennacherib would go ahead and he would face off against God, L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah God, the true God, the living God, and Sennacherib would lose that battle. God would be victorious. But it doesn't end there. Look what the Bible says, verse 36. The Bible says this, then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Verse 37, the Bible says, So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nasroth, his god, that Adammelech and Sherelez, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. All of his conquests, all of his victories came to an end when Sennacherib decided one day that he was going to face off against God. And I want you to understand today, you don't fight against God and win. You will lose every time. You know, it's interesting, the historical records of all of Sennacherib's victories, even his assassination, is recorded. But there is no mention of this one defeat. Yet he never campaigned in Judah ever again. You don't fight against God and win. You can't chase, you know, run away from God and win. I think of Jonah. We started the message with looking at the illustration of Jonah. And the reality is you cannot fight against God and win that battle. God will always win. This story this morning, I hope, gets you excited. As a Christian, I hope it puts a fire in your soul. And I hope that it builds your faith that you can trust in the Lord, that you can trust in God, that he is on our side. Yes, the devil, he will fight against you, and he will whisper in your ear, God doesn't care about you, you can't trust him, you know, you can't follow him. But I want you to understand that you can trust in the Lord today. You can trust in the Lord. If you're not a Christian today, you can trust in him for your soul's salvation. We are all sinners by nature and choice. We have sinned against God. The Bible says we've come short of the glory of God. But Jesus, he died for our sins. And we can place our trust in the gospel. We can believe on the gospel and we can be saved today, and we can experience that gift of eternal life and have that confidence in our heart like Hezekiah to know that we are trusting in the Lord. And you can be a Christian today. You can be a child of God today. I hope that you'll trust in the Lord for your salvation, that you'll fully trust in him. But Christian, I want to remind you this morning on this beautiful long weekend, not to believe in the lies of the devil. You can trust in the Lord today. He will fight against us, the devil, and he will try to deceive us. But friend, today I want us to be reminded that God is on our side, and God does all things well and good, and we must humble ourselves today. We must turn to his word, and we must seek his face in prayer. And I pray that you'll step away from this message, from this service, being confident to know that God will fight for you and that he will show up in your life. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your blessings. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have.